Deuteronomy 11, looking at verse 4, Moses reminisces, as it were, what he did to the army of Egypt, to their horses and to their chariots, how he made the water of the Red Sea overflow them, as they pursued, as they chased after you. Yeah, this is often said, that they chased after the Israelites. That's what the Exodus record says. And yet, when Miriam and Moses are rejoicing over the victory, they say in Exodus 15 that God cast the Egyptians into the sea. God threw them into the sea. That is said a number of times. It is also said that they grabbed their horses and chariots and said, "After them, let's chase after them." I guess they were carrying a huge amount of wealth, because if you add up the total weight of gold, silver, and brass that was used in the tabernacle, this was all contributed by the Israelites, and they gave that which they had taken from the Egyptians, plus the precious stones which they had, they were absolutely loaded, as it were, with Egyptian cash, with Egyptian wealth. Well, they took a huge amount with them. And, of course, they were no longer going to be the slaves of the Egyptians. And they were like thinking, oh, how foolish we are. Why do we let them go? Maybe all those plagues, it was just bad luck. So they chased after them. And yet, God says that here, that they were cast into the sea by God. So you see there just how God works with people. It's like God hardened Pharaoh's heart, but Pharaoh hardened his own heart. This is indeed how it goes. That God confirms people in the attitudes they wish to take, both positively and negatively. The positive confirmation, I would say, is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the negative is, as you have here with the Egyptians being cast into the sea, it's like what happened to King Saul. An evil spirit from the Lord confirmed him in his own feelings of jealousy. Whenever he comes over feeling jealous about David, when he hears that David's won a victory, then the evil spirit from the Lord comes upon him. He's confirmed in his jealousy. I'd like to go on here in verse 4, Deuteronomy 11. How Yahweh has destroyed them, that's the Egyptians, to this day. Now, that's rather a hard phrase to translate, but I think the idea is that, in a sense, the victory at the Red Sea was ongoing. Of course, they died just once, but it's as if the victory was ongoing. And quite often you get that sense, particularly in the Psalms, where David, who's living a long time after the incidents of the Exodus, he speaks as if the Red Sea is even now fleeing before God's people. Time and again, the history of Israel is seen as live and actually ongoing in some sense, just as we read here that he destroyed the Egyptians at the Red Sea and destroyed them to this day. I think the idea is that biblical history is live. God's word is living and not dead. Now, history may indeed be bunk in its secular sense, and sure, it can all seem very dry and simply accounts of facts, supposedly, that happened a long time ago. Biblical history is different because it's describing the behavior of God, and those incidents somehow speak to us. You could look at the whole Bible, in one sense, as a group of biographies that God chose to write, because he knew that between all those people whose various life incidents he's recorded, every one of his subsequent people would find a word for them. This is why Paul can say that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. You see situations going on in your life which are so analogous in essence to that which people pass through in biblical times. Circumstances repeat. They have the same hallmark of God's operation on them. And in that sense, life starts to make sense. Whilst you can't attach direct sort of meaning to event in a strictly literal sense all the time, yet what you can do is to see that man is also not alone, that what we're passing through is not without precedent. But all these things have, at some point, in essence, happened. It's like And Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. He overcomes his temptations by quoting always from Deuteronomy. The three quotations he makes are from Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 8. Why in such close proximity? Because he realized, they were 40 years in the desert, suffered to hunger, tested, etc. And I'm 40 days in this desert, also suffered to hunger, tempted. He takes the cue. He sees the similarity. And so it is with us, that just as we read here, the destruction of the Egyptians in the Red Sea is ongoing to this day, so likewise we will see that every weapon formed against us will likewise not prosper in the end. That God's actions in history are not like human actions in history, that came and they went, it's all a case of time and tide, whereas God's actions have this eternal quality to them, because they speak to us. And that is where the Bible is totally different to any secular history book, because it is written by God, it is inspired, and he is picking up certain points of history, certain issues that went on in people's lives, because it is all written for us. They were examples to us, Paul can say, of the history of Israel. That the whole thing there is for us. That they are, as it were, speaking to us. We are, in another analogy, as it were, cheered on by those whose records we read of in the Bible. Those people are dead themselves and unconscious, and yet the biblical record speaks to us through them. There's something live about the Bible.